Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at windowskansascity.com.
Well, I had planned to do a second podcast here the day after the Super Bowl and include in it some comments that I had going on with Chris DeGaulle on 710 Talk Radio KCMO in Kansas City. We did not spend a lot of time on the game, so the content of that conversation no longer fits particularly well into some of the other Super Bowl loose ends I wanted to put together, so we'll drop that one later today or this evening. We've got a lot to talk about with Tyrann Mathieu's post-game tweet, the unbelievably great Kevin Harlan clip announcing the streaker on the field, and Bruce Springsteen's Jeep commercial in Lebanon, Kansas. They flew him to Kansas to do a Jeep commercial. I've got some strong thoughts on that, and they're not real positive on what happened with that spot. So there's a lot of other loose ends, and we're hearing from some Chiefs personnel today on what transpired in that game. So we'll save that one for later today. I did want to post this up because I was on with Chris DeGaulle, and the conversation got pretty heavy. It moved away from football and into the Britt Reid situation and the young girl, the five-year-old girl, Ariel, who is in a Kansas City hospital on life support and not conscious, has not been conscious since the accident with a brain injury. And that's kind of where this went with Chris. We talked just a little bit of football and some issues, but I thought this would be important for you to hear. And I don't plan to address this very much inside the podcast until we get some official information from the Kansas City, Missouri police on any possible charges for Britt Reid and an update on the girl's condition. If something changes, then we'll do that right away. But as it sits right now, it's just a tragic thing. And seeing the pictures of her that they've put on the GoFundMe page and the things that are out there, it's just hard. It's just hard to stomach that happened. Before we do, a reminder that KKHI is brought to you by Buck Roofing and Construction. Ron Buck and his team will put the best roof possible on your house or your business. No matter what your budget is, he works with all the different manufacturers. He can meet a lower-end project for a house that maybe you're going to flip in a couple of years, or if you're going to be in your house for 30 years, you want to get the best roof possible, Ron Buck can guide you with that as well. 913-384-2680. That's 384-2680. I love the way they take care of your property while they work. They make sure everything is cared for just as you care for it. That is what Buck Roofing is all about. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And Elite Automation, online at eliteautomate.com. Elite Automation is the best anywhere in the entire country at retrofitting your HVAC system with a control panel that is basically a smart panel. These guys are really smart, and they make great products and install very uniquely for every different business equipment that helps you run on a lesser budget. You just don't spend as much on energy costs. You save thousands every month in many cases. Elite Automation is the best. Check them out online at eliteautomate.com. All right, my appearance with Chris DeGaulle on KCMO 710 Talk Radio on Monday is up. Hit it!
Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
I am really, really glad to have our pal Kevin Keatsman as a podcast that you should listen to if you're not already. It's called Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. I have purposely not reached out or spoken to or even listened to a word Kevin Keatsman has said since Friday when he and I spoke here because I wanted this to be the very, very first time he and I interacted. I haven't read or heard a single shred that he's had to say. But many people have reached out to me, knowing that he and I talk, with various comments and thoughts about not only what we watched yesterday in the Super Bowl, but then the events of what we heard Thursday night that broke Friday about Andy Reid's son, Britt, hitting a car on the side of the road on 435 near Stadium Drive that ended up injuring a little girl with what are still reported to be life-threatening injuries. And so, Kevin, first of all, welcome in, and thanks for coming on. My thesis, I don't suppose you think it's too much of a stretch, is there's no way you can convince me that once that news became public, I said to many friends, I suspect you share this, maybe you don't, there's no way that that wasn't the cloud that hung over this team and Andy Reid's head for the remainder of the weekend, beginning Thursday night or Friday, whenever they found out about it, and that abysmal show that we watched yesterday was driven exclusively by that accident. If you disagree, have at it, but that's my take. What do you say? Welcome in.
Hi, Chris, and everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate it. It's a terrible situation, and it's very difficult to even compare football to the tragedy the family is dealing with of young Ariel, the 5-year-old girl, who now has, on her GoFundMe page, almost $325,000 donated, about 50 bucks at a time. I mean, literally thousands of people have been funding this GoFundMe, and I don't mean this in any disrespect in any way. They're not going to need that money. It's great that they have it there and that this is going on. It all arrows, all signs are pointing to the fact that this is going to be Britt Reed's problem. We expect something to happen this week with finding out the toxicology on the blood that was taken from him. He admitted to drinking. He admitted to being on Adderall. The cars were pulled over on the side of the road. He hit them. So this one seems pretty clear. We cannot state anything unequivocally at this point, but it does appear that if he was drinking, he was probably drinking at the chief's offices, the facility. He was only a few hundred yards from there when this thing occurred. And because of COVID protocols, the NFL has told coaches, players, whatever, don't go to bars. If you're going to have a couple drinks after work or something, you can't go out. COVID, COVID, COVID. I think we're going to learn an awful lot. And perhaps one of those things is the Chiefs were allowing alcohol at work. I mean, I can't even imagine where this thing is headed, Chris. This is going to be a major, major story. And not to put the cart before the horse, but again, it seems to me like it's going to be tied to COVID in some way. And this is what we've done to ourselves. This girl is not conscious. She has not been conscious since the accident late Thursday night. She remains in a hospital. There are pictures of her on the internet with this GoFundMe page, and it is just heart-wrenching. I couldn't even retweet it. I was going to retweet it, and I said, no, this is a 5-year-old girl, and she's got tubes in her mouth, and it's awful. It's just a horrific image to see, and I can't retweet it. So, yes, did it have an effect on the football team? Yeah, it probably had more of an effect on Andy Reid. But I've been around the game long enough to know as well that they're not going to use that as an excuse. I don't think it's the sole reason that they lost. Were they in a little bit of a funk? Maybe. Is Britt Reid one of the guys they're closest to or something? No, he's a marginal coach. He's never going to amount to much as a coach. He is likely headed to jail for a long time, in my estimation. He's basically been a convicted felon, drug-addicted, drug-selling loser his whole life that they've tried to correct or fix, and how in the world he could have possibly been drinking at work is beyond me when you know his addiction problems. So the whole thing just completely saddens me. It could have rocked the organization. My guess is it rocked the front office more than anything else because they're trying to figure out legally what their options are here and what they're going to have on their hands. Andy Reid maybe wasn't himself. He made a terrible mistake in that game last night with 44 seconds to go in the first half by calling a timeout on 3rd and 2 and poking Tom Brady with a stick. It was 14-6. It hadn't gone well. The Chiefs were getting the ball to start the third quarter. The Bucs are more than happy to run the clock out. And if he doesn't call that timeout right there, Chris, I think it's 14-6 at the half. The Chiefs come out, and even if they just get the field goal, which they got to start the third quarter, and it's 14-9, now you're one Patrick Mahomes play away from winning a football game. It changes everything. When he called those timeouts and poked Tom Brady with a stick, and Brady went over to the sidelines and said, let's not only get the first down, let's stick it up his you-know-what right here with 44 seconds left. And they did. They scored a touchdown. It was 21-9. They were happy to go to the locker room at 21-6. They were happy to go to the locker room at 14-6, but Andy Reid wouldn't have it. It was not his best moment.
I maintain, and I want to get into something a little more personal with you, if you don't mind, if you'll stick around with me for another segment in a minute. But yeah. I maintain that Andy Reid's, the proposition that Andy Reid's son is going to go to prison for a very, very long time after he's already lost one son in training camp. These are not two sons. One has died ostensibly under his watch. Another one will now go to prison for a very long time, ostensibly under his watch. They're both grown men, to be clear and to be fair. They're not children, literally, but they are his children, even if grown men, working for him, ostensibly. I just can't believe that they played that poorly and his play calling wasn't affected by that knowledge. I can't believe just having children that wouldn't screw with your mind. Am I making too much of this?
Well, I'm a football guy, so I think once the game starts and the adrenaline's going, I don't think it was on his mind during the game. Is he tired? Was Andy Reid exhausted? were some people, you know, out of sorts, perhaps. I don't think it was a conscious thing. I don't think he was sitting there between plays thinking about his son in the hospital or whatever. And Andy.
No.
Andy's been through so much. I told folks we were with last night watching the game. I said, you know, he's a Hall of Fame coach. He's won a Super Bowl. Everybody that plays for him likes him and says glowing things. And I don't mean this in any negative or disrespectful way other than to state a fact. He's had a hard life. I mean, he and his wife have been through a lot. They have been through a lot of really bad things. And it should be noted that the reason those boys were working for Andy Reid after they were arrested in 2007, if you go read the accounts of what they did, it is unbelievable. They basically were drug dealers, and they were dealing drugs out of Andy Reid's house in Philadelphia, out of the basement. And the one son overdosed at training camp working for Andy Reid in Philly, and that was the beginning of the end in Philadelphia. I think there they were like, okay, we can't have this. But to keep them out of jail as part of their convictions, they had to keep permanent jobs. Well, who was going to hire either one of them if it wasn't Andy? So he felt like, if I hire them, I keep them out of jail. And I'll try, I guess. But the facts aren't all in yet. I do not know as a fact that Britt Reid was drinking at work. But my God, if he was drinking at work, what on earth is going on? Lifelong drug addict. He said in a report that he was medicated as a child, that he was over-medicated as a child. He became addicted to drugs as a sophomore in high school. It's just, there was Vicodin in their house that they mixed up with stuff as kids. He said to the court and to the judge, all this stuff has happened. He's been an addict his whole life. His brother was an addict that overdosed and died. How in the world was Britt Reid drinking at work, if indeed he was?
That's what I couldn't establish for sure is, and again, I don't know. And I know you're not claiming you do either, but what I couldn't gather was he heading back to the office from drinking somewhere, or had he been drinking and he was leaving the stadium that night?
He left. He was on the on-ramp to 435 right there at the stadium. Okay. Just from where the Chiefs facility is. I mean, it's just hundreds of yards. You go down the hill, you make a right, and then you go under the bridge and you turn left to get on 435. And as he's going up the ramp, toward the top of the ramp, these cars were pulled over. The one person was out of gas and called a relative, and the relatives came with gas to put gas in the car, got out, left the wife and the girls in the car, which was done properly, parked in front of the stalled car. He put his family in the front. Britt Reid came in his truck, which has dealer plates. So this is some car dealer in Kansas City that had given him a free car. And he goes busting up the ramp and hits the left front fender of the first car. And then it bounces into the other one and hits the right rear of that one. And that's where the little girls were. And I mean, we can make all kinds of assumptions. If she's got massive head injuries, maybe she was out of her seatbelt at that point. So they were pulled over. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? It doesn't matter, but you shouldn't do that. Listen, if he only had two or three drinks, and I'm not going to make any judgments on his toxicology. I'm not sitting here saying he was so whacked out of his mind he couldn't see those cars. I don't know that that's the case. He may have had two or three drinks at work and been on Adderall, and that's it, and was looking at his phone while he was going up the ramp. I mean, you don't know with accidents anymore.
Right.
People are so distracted. There's a million scenarios with this thing. What we know is you shouldn't hit cars parked on the side of the road at high rates of speed. It just shouldn't happen.
Nope, and not with a rap sheet like his. I mean, he's going to prison. There's no way he's not going to prison. For how long, I don't know. It's just a matter of, you know, now we're negotiating the terms, but he's going to be locked away. There's no doubt about that.
I was talking to my wife about that, Chris, and the laws are what they are, okay? I'm thinking, okay, he did something. Whatever he did, period, no matter what. Whether that girl lives or dies is probably a significant difference for his prison sentence.
Yeah.
And yet it's the same crime. And she's laying there apparently in a coma. She has not been awake since this thing has happened. This is just awful. It's absolutely, and the Chiefs have had just tons of awful stuff for 25, 30 years. And, you know, this is what got me in trouble at the end of my radio career when I was pointing out they have a terrible hiring history of hiring too many troubled people with felonies, disorders, addictions. They just keep doing it.
And this is what I want to discuss with you, if you don't mind, when we get back, Kevin.
Sure.
Because I had a lot of people reach out. So Kevin Keatsman is with me. Kevin Keatsman Has Issues is his podcast. Please check it out. When we return with Kevin, I want to discuss with him that issue. If you're a longtime radio listener in Kansas City, particularly sports talk, you know the trouble Kevin is speaking of. And the trouble he got in for talking about these things. So I've heard that word vindication tossed around a few times when referring to Kevin Kietzman. Does he feel that way about this? I know he's not doing an end zone dance about the, you know, the struggles of this little girl in a hospital bed by any means, but one wonders if maybe this is proof that what he was arguing that caused him the trouble publicly a couple of years ago might be closer to the truth than we first knew.
From Lenexa to Lee's Summit, Chris DeGaulle is on KCMO Talk Radio.
I don't want to put words in Kevin Kietzman's mouth, but I think the, well, here was the implication always, I think, laid out there, that Kevin once upon a time on his radio show suggested that because there were troubles on the Chiefs roster and the Chiefs made questionable hires with people who had questionable, if not criminal, backgrounds. Andy Reid was not a great disciplinarian, had trouble in the locker room, and that Kevin would link somehow in his argument, making that argument, Kevin would link the problems ultimately at home, Andy Reid's private life with his sons, the untimely death of his son Garrett, as evidence to that lack of discipline. That was always sort of the way that story was told. So, Kevin, I don't know if you, first of all, I don't think you necessarily frame your argument that way. I don't think you agree with the characterization of that argument, but a lot of people say, well, given what happened to Britt, maybe that is the argument. So how would you, I guess, relitigate this if you would publicly, because you had a very public falling out with your former employer over this issue and
well,
the Chiefs.
Discipline's a broad term. So there's a lot of different things that fall under that. I would never in any way suggest that anyone could fix an addict. There are professionals, there are treatment centers, there are places to go, and even the best of the best in our society have a very difficult time helping addicts no longer be addicts, okay? So at no point was I suggesting, you know, Andy Reid somehow should have kept his sons from being an addict. When I talk about discipline in football, I talk about it as a whole, and the last night's Super Bowl is a classic example. The Chiefs had 11 penalties for 120 yards. They are, and have been all year, an undisciplined football team. It's the way they play. They play reckless. They're really, really good. But Andy doesn't really care about those things. He's never been, they describe him as a player's coach. They all love him because he lets them backflip into the end zone or do anything they want to do, doesn't get on them when they get holding penalties. D Ford lines up offside. It cost him a Super Bowl 2 years ago. I mean, Andy Reid's football teams, as football teams, are undisciplined. He brings in personnel around him. Some have gone on and been very successful. Some have had problems afterwards that have criminal records. The shining example of the best one that he ever did was Michael Vick when he brought him in. Everybody thought, wow, Michael Vick, you know, what a scumbag. He was in Leavenworth all those years. You know, he was killing dogs and doing all this other stuff. Well, Michael Vick got out of prison, got a contract, paid back everybody he owed. It is one of the great American recovery and success stories. Did Andy Reid have a hand in that? Well, Andy hired him. Andy believes in second chances. I just think in light of a few years ago when they had a murder-suicide in the parking lot at Arrowhead, it was probably time to start, you know, on that employment form where it says, have you ever been convicted of a felony? Check yes or no. Maybe it's time to start when somebody checks yes, that we reconsider whether or not they should be working for the Kansas City Chiefs Football Club. That's all I was getting at in 2019 was there's too much of this. There's too many people here that have had problems with the law, some felonies, some minor, some DUIs, and we've watched them discard players that aren't very good or personnel not related to the head coach and just say goodbye to them. Remember, Kareem Hunt didn't get cut, let go by the Chiefs for drinking and driving or even kicking the girl or any of the other stuff that he's done. He got let go because he lied to the owner of the team. The team said that. Mm-hmm. He lied to Clark Hunt, therefore you're gone. It wasn't you kicking that girl. It wasn't the drinking. It wasn't the fight that you had in Ohio. It was none of that stuff. You lied to the owner. You're out of here. So this isn't the real world, Chris. This is sports, all right? And football deals with it more than most sports because there's a lot of personnel and they're big organizations. This isn't the real world. There's not a company in Kansas City that would put up with this stuff and hire people like this. And yet we just do it in football. And the older I've gotten, I'm just like, I understand. Marty Schottenheimer and Carl Peterson used to say, and they'd say it publicly, hey, if the legal system hasn't put them in jail, they have every right to work. And we thought that way 25 years ago. This team hasn't evolved. They have not evolved. Okay, that's 25 years ago thinking. And when you have the place in the community that the Kansas City Chiefs do, and you run around and tout all the great things that you do and all your players' charities and all the give back, and you're the central focal point of a community, 2.5 million people that rally around a football team, you've got a little higher purpose. You got a little higher purpose in your hiring practices. I'm sorry, you just do.
Where does this leave this organization? I mean, once we get past the Britt Reid thing, which we will, and the team will, and Andy Reid will, where now?
Well, I'm gonna. I've not said this yet on my podcast, and I'm waiting. I want to see what happens with possible charges this week and whatnot. I'm just gonna tell everyone what's been going through my mind on this thing with this act. This is a good football team. It's a talented team. Patrick Mahomes is here. That is all good. All of that is good. The Chiefs are gonna win a boatload of games the next 50. If you're worrying about football right now, your head's in the wrong place. They're gonna win a bunch of games. This little girl is clinging to life, and if she doesn't make it, Chris, if she doesn't make it, I'm going to ask a really serious question. Is there any way, and we learn what we think, okay, and it's proven that for a reason, Britt Reid was allowed to drink at work. How can Andy Reid keep his job?
I know.
So, the whole organization, how do you do it? I mean, I don't know what happened. We don't know. It appears, I just want to say it again, he's admitted to drinking, we know that, and he caused the accident, we know that. If he was drinking at work, and I think what has happened a lot of these places is work would end maybe at 7 o'clock, 7:30, maybe the coaches, three or four of them, position coaches would sit around, have some beers or something like that at the office before going home. If that happened, and whether Andy Reid knows or not, maybe isn't even the point at this point. He's in charge of everything, so he is responsible. If that was going on his watch, it's on him too.
That is a huge question. So maybe I'll open it to the floor, people listening. And I know you'll carry that conversation on at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, the podcast that I hope nobody misses. My friend, I have been waiting all weekend for your analysis on this. I hope nobody misses your podcast. I'm really grateful to you for your conversation here. And I've always appreciated your sober analysis. I never thought you were given a fair shake on that from the jump, but I'm really, really glad you're here today to give voice to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.